De If you could stand, please, and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We keep on looking at looking into the harvest as we keep looking at the harvest fields of the world. And please bear with me. I am, like I said, I am very, very dizzy. Don't know why, but I'm just very dizzy. I see you waving from side to side. I hope this goes away. All right. Today we're going to look at this message, the greatest mission. Look at verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord Father, for the wonderful promise that we're never alone in this world. We have your Holy Spirit within us. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be lighthouses in the places we go. A living testimony of your love and your care for the human race. Help us, Lord, to reach people that desperately need a Savior. Lord, help us to use our mouth, or use our feet and our hands, Lord, as we can go and tell others that Jesus saves. Lord, I bless this morning. Lord, help me to preach, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The greatest mission. As I begin this message, let me remind you that Jesus Christ left his church with a great responsibility to reach the world. Actually, I said last night and say it again, Jesus is the greatest missionary who ever lived. He came with the greatest mission. His mission was Calvary's cross. And in his path, he led many people to salvation. But let me tell you, when he went to that cross, he had you in mind. When he died on that cross, he died for you. That is a great mission. When I think how much of a sinner I am, I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm pointing my fingers at me, how much of a sinner I am, I praise God for Jesus as his finished work at Calvary's cross. He did that, he shed his blood for me. If what we do as a church or individuals is just having a nice missions program this week or this month, and forgot to pray for our missionaries, and forgot to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are making a big, huge mistake. God says, go ye and throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, this command, this mandate is given to the local church, to every person in that church. Listen, I cannot take this building and go tell people about Jesus. The building doesn't move. The church is made of people. And the people are the ones who go tell others about Jesus. I'm forever thankful that someone told me about Jesus. Aren't you thankful that somebody told you about Jesus? And let me tell you, if you're sitting here this morning, if you're watching us on social media, and if you never received Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you this. It's the worst mistake that you're making. You know why? Because if you die without Jesus, you find yourself in a place that you don't want your worst enemy to be. It's a place called hell. You say, is such a place? Yes, it is. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what philosophers say. The Bible is true and stands true. And the Bible says it is a place called hell where thousands of people are going because they reject that free gift of salvation. And don't you ever think you're too young to get saved, because young people die too. Let me give you this way. When I was 10 years old, my little best friend at school died of brain cancer. And I used to avoid mommy because her mom, every time she saw me, she would hug me and cry and don't let me go. Because I was so close to him. When I was 18, my two best friends died in a car crash. When I was 22, my friend died of ran over 95 by somebody. To this day, nobody knows who did it. Let me tell you this. The undertaker comes at any given moment. The thing is, are you ready to meet Jesus? That's why we have missions, a missions conference. That's why we preach about the Savior, because it needs to be preached. Now, we're down here a little bit. As we consider this theme this morning, allow me to give you seven things the Scripture says with respect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And each of these things I'm going to share with you. The number one thing is in the gospel of Jesus Christ is an elementary gospel. May I remind you this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple to understand that even a little child gets it. My little girl was 7 years old when she got saved. She got it. She got it. And a week later, she went and got baptized. I remember when she went to that pool, it was a having pool. I mean, she was like this on the tippy toes because the little head only show up. And I was really concerned about her. And she wanted to be baptized. And to this day, no doubt, in her mind, she received Jesus as Savior. And she always looked forward to that moment back there when she's 7 years old. Listen, the gospel message is so simple that a little child can't understand. The problem is, as the older we get, the more complicated we get. And we complicate and we question. Listen, letter A is a childlike faith. Look what it says in Luke chapter 18, verse 17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. What kind of faith do we need to receive Jesus as Savior? Like a little kid. Little kids are so tender. Oh, believe it. You believe it right away. They understand it. We complicate everything. Oh, but this. Oh, but that. And we question. We even question God. How many Christians question God? Lord, if you love me, why you allow me to go through this problem? And the Lord looks at us, oh, child, child. I love you, but you have no common sense. Look what it says in Mark 10:15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. In other words, salvation is obtained as a childlike faith. Children are tender, and it don't take much for them to believe. For an adult to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must believe like a little child. Let me tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning and you never received Jesus as your Savior, let me ask you this question. What are you waiting for? You want to face eternity on your own and say, oh, I will deal with God when I get there. Let me tell you, it's too late. Now you have to answer for every sin that you have committed. And let me tell you, in the end, you're not going to win. You're going to hear those words, apart from me, your work of iniquity, I never knew you. That's the worst word you can hear from the mouth of your Creator. That's the worst word you can hear. Lord, I don't understand everything, but I believe. That's what we come to. Folks, the gospel message that Jesus commissioned His church to go and share with the world is an elementary gospel. In other words, it's very simple. That's a simple gospel that anyone can understand. The gospel message is so simple that a five-year-old can understand it. What I'm trying to say here is that no child of God have any excuse about not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. The problem many Christians have is the problem is comes to fear of rejection, fear of retaliation, fear of coming to out of their comfort zone, fear of messing up. Listen, let me tell you, when you talk about Jesus to someone that don't know Jesus as Savior, you come across as a theologian. They don't know anything. They know, you know better than they do. The little that you know a lot more than they do. How many church people we have out there today? Thousands. You come across and you say what you say. Let me tell you that. Wow, this person knows a lot. Use what you know and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what Brother Rosario was saying last night here. Calvinism killed churches. Yes, it does. But let me tell you, if we have churches that don't witness to the lost, we will die too. It's a living organism. It's keep on reproducing itself. Let me tell you, what does the human body does? Cells keeps dying and reproducing. That's what the human body is, right? That's why you're still alive. Let me tell you, the church is a living organism. Amen. And for that organism to live and sustain itself, it's got to reproduce itself. And if we don't tell others and witness to others, tell about the Savior, let me tell you, eventually we will die. That body will die. So that's what we go and tell.
He said, but you don't understand. I'm fearful. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to say it. Look what the Bible says. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things to Christ who strengthened me. You see, you may not be able to do it, but God can give you the strength to do it. Let me help you. Because this is very easy. Carry with you some tracks. You know this guy with a happy face? I love this little guy. Five reasons to smile. You tell me, try to give this to somebody. Don't tell me when you see this thing, he's not going to smile. Five reasons to smile, what is that? You give it to them. You know what? Open it up. Did you ever read one of these? Read it and see if you follow these steps, you can lead somebody to Christ. See, there's many ways you can do it, but we have to encourage each other to do it.
That's right.
Otherwise, this living organism will die.
That's right.
One of the most common excuses I hear from those who are not actively involved in sharing their faith is that they simply don't feel qualified. They say, Pastor, that's your job. I don't see that in the Bible. You show me a passage or a chapter and verse that says, Pastor, the pastor shall witness to the lost. You show me, I want to see it. All right? The Bible says, go ye throughout the world. That means me included, and you as well.
Right.
So we have to go because it's an elementary gospel. Let it be the disciples' example. Look at the early disciples. None of those 12 men were theologians or educated. Peter was a fisherman. Can you put yourself in his feet? It was a guy, the only thing he knew was to catch fish. All right? Stinky job. Do you ever see a fishing boat? Oh, goodness. The other day, this summer, my wife and I, we went in Newport. And we took a boat. We went for a ride. And this fishing boat came across us. Oh, my word, that stuff stunk. Do you remember that, honey? I was like, wow, that thing stunk. I told my wife, like, when the fish is in the table, man, it doesn't stink, it smells good. But I tell you what, that thing stinks. Imagine Peter smelling like fish. That's the education he had. That was a fish smell. He was smelling like fish. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. Goodness, you think people like him? I don't think people like him very much. But let me tell you, they simply share what they knew to be true. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all who ask him for forgiveness would receive it and be given eternal life. So somewhere along the way, we have complicated the gospel to a degree that it becomes convoluted and difficult to understand. Folks, the gospel is simple. The gospel is easy to tell people. It's not complicated. Listen, and what you need to do, listen, you need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to admit that, you're a sinner. You broke God's laws. Here's where it goes. And you have to admit to God that you are guilty before Him. You have to confess your sin before Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Then ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. Listen, everybody knows that they do wrong. Everybody knows that. It's a conscience that God put in every human being that tells us when we do wrong, we know we're wrong. Listen, I remember I was a kid. My grandmother, she used to make those peanuts with cinnamon and sugar. And she used to put it on a little bowl. And it was like, oh. And she put it in a jar on top of a kitchen cabinet. And guess what I did? I used to go visit my grandma almost every day. And I never asked, but I took it. I went in the job. Took them. One is not enough. One more for later. My grandma never asked. She knew I was taking. But how are you going to explain the things disappearing? But like, why did I look like this? Make sure my grandma was not looking because I knew I was doing wrong. And I was a kid. But those things are so tempting. Oh. But see, all of us know that we do wrong. The gospel is very simple. Number two, not only is an elementary gospel, is an exclusive gospel. There's no other way to gain access to God and eternal life except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many religions in this world and many other gospels, but the gospel of Christ is exclusive. That means that's the only way a person is to get to heaven. Think about all the roads that lead to heaven. Many people say today, we have so many denominations, so many beliefs out there. We even have a pope out there. I don't try to talk about religions here, but it turns my heart upside down because that's where I came from. That says if you're an atheist, you don't have to believe in God any longer. That's a lie.
Right.
That is a lie. Listen, we live in the world today, no matter who you are, what you do, we all have good intentions. We all going to die and go to heaven. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Let me tell you. The word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You see, there is one God. Let me tell you this. Allah is not God.
Amen.
And let me tell you, I can prove to you because it's a moon God.
Yep.
Confucius is not God.
That's right.
That's why many people are so confused today. He's not God. I can't talk about many other leaders. They're not God. There's only one God. Jehovah God.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the world's always going to have their own way, their own gods, their own opinions. But let me tell you, God's word will never change. You either take it. Let me tell you this. This Bible, not trying to defend itself. God have his word and give his word to mankind. You either accept it or you reject it. God's not going to handcuff anyone to believe his word. He gives you that choice.
Yep.
You either believe or you reject it. In the end, you reap the consequences of your choice.
Amen.
But God does not say you have to. No. He came. He died on the cross for you. He paid a penalty for your sin. But let me tell you, he left his word. You want to know about God? Read his word. But let me tell you, he gives you that choice. Believe or reject it. In the end, the Bible says you reap what you sow.
That's right.
The gospel of Christ stands alone with no compromise. It stands alone with power because the tomb is empty. Because Jesus rose from the dead, promising heaven to all of those who believe. On the other hand, the leaders of every other religion known to mankind went to the grave and still there. And let me tell you, I take my chances with Jesus because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
I'm not going to take chances with somebody who went to the grave and still there because that's where I'm going to.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I'm going to believe you. Good doctrine. What happened to you? You died and went to the grave? Why you don't come out of there? See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is exclusive because we serve a risen Savior and His promises goes beyond the grave. You see, it's important that we think, let me tell you that, we live in a day and age today where nobody's afraid of dying. They look at death and say, Death, I'm not afraid of you, I don't care about you. You know why? Because we're living in a world today of so much materialism. And we think we can conquer death. We try to get the invention. How can we conquer death? How can we get those people that die, bring them back alive? Listen, it won't happen.
Right.
You will be born, you will die. And it is the judgment. You see, if anyone is here thinking that there's not fear, that the way to God is so narrow, what about these poor people who are trapped in those religions? My answer to you is this. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Look what it says in Romans. Actually, go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Go there, let's look at these verses. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God had showed it unto them. Look what it says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power as God had, so that they are without excuse. But let me tell you something. You say, well, this person lives in that remote part of the world. He never heard about Jesus. Let me tell you, if that person looks up and look at creation itself, that person is going to understand in their brain that somebody created all. Listen, we're not a fruit of a chance. This thing about this thing came to be, it don't have any logic. We live in this galaxy. We live in this universe. The earth is just at the right rotation. The sun is in the right place so it can sustain life. Let me tell you this. Why is not life on Mars? Why is not life in the moon? Why not? Why? Because God doesn't want to. God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why earth? Because it was there that He put life. And this planet is full of life. And if you look at life, even through a rock, sometimes a plant or a tree comes right up. You know why? Because that's what this world has, life given by a great creator. So the gospel is available to all, and they must come to God according to the word of God, not according to the will of man. So everyone who rejects the free gift of salvation without excuse. You say, I have my religion, I was baptized, I belong to this church, my name is in this church. Let me tell you, you can do whatever you want. In the end, you lose. If you reject Jesus as your Savior, in the end, when you depart from this world, you will not see heaven. I said, how can you say that? The Bible says that. It's not my word, it's what the Bible says. One of the ingredients to sharing the gospel these days is that we claim exclusivity, and that is, we preach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Look at exactly what he says in John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said unto him, that's what Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Is that narrow? Yes. You have a problem with it? Put up with God. Not me. Put up with God. He's the one who wrote. Not me. I'm just a servant. He says, I'm the only way to heaven. Oh, that's too narrow. Exactly. The way to heaven is very narrow. People don't want nothing to do with God. This goes against the spirit of the age, which is a postmodernism. Postmodernism tells that the truth is contextual and that all truths are of equal worth. Postmodernism is appealed by the audacity of anyone truth being the only truth. They're against that. So you cannot say that. There's many ways to heaven. Really? If you want to believe that there's many ways to heaven, we might as well get this Bible, close it down, put it somewhere, and never preach it again.
That's right.
Because that's not what God teaches in His Word. The spirit of the age. We live in such a dangerous age right now. What people do what they want to do. They're doing right in their own eyes. And in the end, they justify their own actions. And they say, it's God. God loves me. God can. God, let me tell you this. God loves all human beings. Generally speaking. But if you never receive Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you that. He comes across as a judge, and He will judge you for your sin. Many Christians find it difficult to share this faith precisely because they claim to be exclusive. This faith claims to be exclusive, and people have a problem with that. You see, they will say, but what about these people who never heard about Jesus? What about those people who never have a chance? How can God send them to hell? Listen, folks. To say that God sent people to hell, that is a lie. Because God doesn't send anyone to hell.
That's right.
People go there on their own.
Amen.
Calvinism says that God raises people to go to heaven, and God raises people to go to hell. So literally some human beings who are born with no hope at all. That is not biblical. That is not true. And let me tell you here. And the other hand is to say, well, how could God allow people to go to hell? Listen, God wants everyone to be saved.
Amen.
People go to hell on their own. They don't want you. They reject God. Listen, if a Christian comes and witness, if another Christian comes and witness, if another Christian comes and witness, and that person rejects and rejects and rejects, and that person closes his heart, and the more he rejects, his heart gets harder and harder, and even if that person dies without Jesus, whose fault is it? God? No. Be careful.
That's right.
Don't close your heart to God.
Amen.
Don't close it to God, because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in His heaven. Number three, it is an eternal gospel. It is an eternal God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is an eternal gospel. Look what it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now look what the word. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, God is very specific here about this gospel message. And let me tell you, it's an eternal gospel. It's not that you lose your salvation, that today you are a Christian, tomorrow you're not. Let me tell you this. You have a sinful nature, don't you? And let me tell you, inclination is to do wrong, right? I mean, how many times you get out of the church and you're all holy and you're praising God. You just sing the songs of Zion. You walk out the door and you see something wrong and you're sinning right there. Happens to all of us. There was a pastor friend of mine that told me he met with this pastor from another denomination, and the pastor told him that he didn't sin in 23 years. Wow. And the pastor friend of mine said, "Really? You don't sin in 23 years? How you manage that?" When I got saved, and I tell you what, I don't sin in 23 years. Wow. Good night. I mean, we all lost here, don't we? Listen, we have the Spirit of God in us, but we still have the old man.
That's right.
That lost to do wrong. But let me tell you, this gospel message is eternal. What does that mean? Once you're a child of God, you are forever a child of God. You might move to Japan, you might move to Italy, you might, God knows, move whatever. You're still a child of God. Let me put it this way. I am a Barboza. I was born into the Barboza family. I can go to somewhere and never see my parents again. Am I going to stop being this child? No. Same thing about God. Once you're saved, you are saved forever. It's an eternal gospel. Isn't that wonderful? It is an eternal gospel. Number four, it is an exacting gospel. This is what, there's not easy, not an easy message here. It's one which demands everything from those who accept it. I'm often led to wonder how many people who claim to follow Jesus really understand that this gospel is a proactive gospel. Let me tell you this, folks. Jesus did not save you for you to be a pew warmer.
That's right. Amen.
The Christianity is a proactive, I don't like to use the word religion. Let's put a relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
When Jesus said, "Go ye," He means get up and go.
Amen.
It doesn't mean stay still. Listen, I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. I don't want to preach to empty pews. I already had the experience when the church was closed. It was very sad looking at pews, imagining people sitting there. But let me tell you, it's the weirdest thing to do. But let me tell you, this gospel message is a proactive gospel.
Yep.
We ought to tell. Look what it says. If any man... Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, will come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, Jesus says right here in this verse, you have to deny yourself. You have to die to self and say, "Lord, it's not about what I want to do, it's about what you want me to do." That's the problem of most of us. Oh, I have this going on. I have this going on. I have this going on. And when it comes to the Lord, oh, I don't have time, Lord. We make time for everything in life.
Yep.
Make time for God.
Amen.
Listen, not because you want a pat on the back. You just serve your Savior. Tell the lost that they need a Savior.
Amen.
Say, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Listen, tell the lost about Jesus. It's not an easy thing to do. He said, "What do you mean, not easy thing?" Listen, you have to go out of your comfort zone. You have to talk about something that you're uncomfortable because you don't know what's going to be the reaction. Or if you knock on somebody's door, you don't know who's on the other side of the door. Even me, it's not natural to us, but we have to die to this body of ours and say, "Lord, I'm going to serve you." It's not an easy thing.
It says, take up his cross and follow me. What God's saying right here, follow his word. Do what I'm telling you to do. In verse 25 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But Jesus says right here that whosoever shall lose his life, whosoever will save his life, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What are words right here that God uses for us to remember, that it is great gain for us to tell the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we preach the gospel, we must be careful not to preach a watered down version of the gospel, a gospel which calls for nothing but promise everything. It's out there today, folks. How many churches don't have missions? How many churches don't go out and tell the lost about Jesus? How many churches bring the whole world inside and say, we will accommodate you? What, you believe that? Okay, we will make it for you so we can make you feel comfortable. Listen, the gospel is exclusive. It's a proactive gospel. And let me tell you, we have to follow the way God says, not the way humans say. Unfortunately, this message of God, of the gospel, which gives us everything and costs us nothing, is what people see and hear when they go to many churches today. They simply hear part of the gospel, that part that speaks of what we get out of it, not what we give. It's not what the president says, not what you can get from your country, but what you can do for your country.
Right.
The same thing about the gospel. It's not what you can get, but what you can give. God is looking for servants. For people to go into the harvest fields of the world and tell. Oh, that's for the missionaries. No, they're going places we can't go. What about your mission field? Where's your mission field? What are you doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you want your aunt and your mom and your brother or your neighbor or your co-worker to go to hell? Oh, no. Then tell them the truth. That Jesus saves. I already told them a million times. Keep telling them.
Amen.
Keep telling. People change. Keep telling them that Jesus saves. I am so glad for the people that literally haunt me in a workplace with their Bibles and their tracts and trying to tell me. And I used to make mockery of them. But they know one thing that I didn't know. They planted a seed in my heart. And they're watering down. One time I made a Christian cry. He said, you pastor? Oh, yes, I did. I play around with them. The poor guy was crying. Actually, he punched his car and went home that day. That's how upset he was. I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. But God got hold of my heart. And I went back to him and I said, thank you. I know I made a lot of fun and bad. I mean, I mocked you quite a bit. But let me tell you, I'm glad you stayed strong. And you didn't give in because now I'm saved. Now I believe what you believe. And he was rejoicing. Then he was crying. But that was tears of joy. Now I understood those. But that, and the other, I mean, that day when he left before I got saved, I was like, yes, I got you. So a child doesn't have a hard time with that because children find it easy to trust than to adults. The gospel demands that we are to take up our cross, the instrument of death, and follow Jesus to Calvary. It calls us to surrender our will to the will of the Father, even as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but your will. It assaults our pride and self-sufficient, calling us to renounce our own ability and trust God. It demands that we abandon our love of material things to this world and go and do what God calls us to do. I always remember about that missionary in Washington, D.C. that left everything, a good job, sold his house, his wife quit his job, everything to go to be a missionary to Argentina. He's still there, still serving the Lord. And he says, people look at me, my friends call me, my own family call me, and said I was crazy. And I told my mother that I would be crazy not to do what God was calling me to do.
Right.
He sold his beautiful home. He quit his job. His wife quit his job just to go to another country to tell people about Jesus. People, the world will look at a person like that and say, what a loser. No, no, no. God looks at him and says, what a winner.
Amen.
That's what God says. Because ultimately, the end of life is not about what you accumulate. It's what you did for Jesus.
Amen.
Remember, you're just a steward of what God has given you. Number six, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is an enlightening gospel. Look what it says in Matthew 28 in our text. Go ye therefore. You see, Jesus left the church with a great commission. The commission is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. But we don't stop here. We are to teach and baptize those who get saved. Listen, it's not 1, 2, 3 get saved. It's lead them to the Lord in the right way, but we have to disciple them. We have to teach them the oracles of God. That's why we have discipleship.
Amen.
It is a purpose for that. We need our people need to know their Bible. They need to understand what God says in their Word. So somebody don't come around and put their minds upside down. Yesterday I learned, cut my heart. Actually, I didn't sleep good about that. Two brothers in Christ. Two leaders of church. Two pastors. Their doctrine changed. They change the name of their church. Their doctrine changed. They change everything. They learn, they teach that you lose your salvation. They teach all kinds of nonsense. What happened? Somebody came along and turned their head upside down. That's what happened when you're now standing on the rock and say, I'm not going to waver.
Amen.
I know my Bible. Go ahead and try me.
Amen.
We have to be strong. We have to be like, you know, sometimes stubborn. This is what I know here.
Amen.
That's what I believe. The Word of God says, and you're not going to change me. If we don't do that, somebody will come along and change you.
That's right.
That's why I say to you, read your Bible every day. Read it. Try to understand it. Don't go read for read. Don't try, I'm going to read 10 chapters today. If you can do it, go right ahead. But if you read one verse and try to chew on it and meditate on it, good. Because now you're learning. When somebody comes along, guess what? You're not going to convince me, fellow. There was this guy that totally knew everything, came out of college, and he's thought he was like this theologian, and it was this grandmother sitting in the back of the church with a cane, couldn't walk that much. And this young fellow thought that he knew everything, tried to tell this old grandmother about the Lord Jesus, how wrong she was. And she looked at him and said, son, you can have all the philosophies you want, but you're not going to change my mind from this book. I read it every day and I know what my God says. That's, we need people like that. People that said, all right, you have your philosophies. I have God's philosophy here. And you're not going to change me. So it is an enlightened gospel. It's commissioned to the church. And obediently we are to go and tell the world of the Savior. It is a great need. It is a great need to evangelize the world. It is a great need to evangelize America as we see it. Folks, the problem of America is not politics.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, it's not Republicans and Democrats. It's not that. The problem of America is people that don't know the Savior.
Yep.
Because when people know Jesus as their Savior, their heart and their minds are going to change.
Amen.
That's the problem of America. It goes from the top to the bottom. People don't go to church. People don't read Bible. People don't care about God at all.
Yep.
Then we see the mayhem that we see. We see the chaos that we see because people are doing right in their own eyes. Everybody have an opinion. Everybody is right. See that out there? You're here to tell me I'm right. I'm expressing my freedom. I'm right. No, no. You're wrong. You need God.
Yeah, right.
Listen, we go into the book of Judges. You see what happened when people are doing right in their own eyes. Number six is an effective gospel. That is, the gospel of Jesus Christ truly transforms those who truly believe. Salvation has the power to transform people. Before I got saved, this was me. All right? If you don't know me, let me tell you the way I was. Life was about me, myself, and I. If I see you hurt, I would say, are you dead yet? I said that many times. I didn't care about anybody. I care about myself. I was that selfish. But that was life before I got saved. But let me tell you, what changed me? Did I change myself? No, I did not. The power of the gospel. The Holy Spirit working in me. To give me a heart for people. God, what I didn't care, God changed it. And said, I'm going to make you care. And now I do care. Is an effective gospel. Salvation has the power of transforming people. If you are saved here today, it transformed you and transformed me. Those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have been transformed from darkness to light.
Amen.
Brother Eric, turn off those lights, all of them, for a second. You see that? That's a person without the Savior. He lives in darkness. Can you turn it on? That's a person that is saved. He's living in the light.
Amen.
Darkness and light have no fellowship with one another.
Amen.
You either are walking in darkness or you're walking in the light. You see that? It's not a common ground with darkness and light. They separate themselves. When darkness is in, light is off. When light comes in, darkness is gone. And that's what it is. See, it is an effect of gospel. When it comes, it transforms the heart of man.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you today? Are you living in darkness? Or are you living in the light?
Right.
It is an effect of gospel. The person who had truly accepted Jesus as a personal Savior, all things have passed away. All things have become new, the Bible says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. The reality is, if you are saved, there will be a transformation in your life. The desire to do godly things begin to grow in your heart. And less, the desire to do wicked things will go away. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The desire for godly things and godly living will grow in you. The desire to be in God's house and make friends with God's people will grow in you. If there's no change, if there's no desire, listen to me careful. I'm not God, but I question your salvation. I will not say you're saved or not saved, but if there's no desire to read His Word, if there's no desire to make friends with God's people, if there's no desire to go to the house of God, if there's no desire to sing the songs of Zion, I question your salvation. Because the Spirit of God leads the children of God to the house of God.
Amen.
If there's no Spirit, there's no leader. There's nobody leading anything. How can you claim transformation if there's no desire at all? The gospel of Jesus Christ changes us from inside out. It merely is a moral code by trying to obey. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, it changes a person from within. And that person begins to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It can change overnight. And sometimes is a progressive change. It takes a time to change. But it will change you.
Amen.
It will change you. Let me tell you. What about the drunkard that stopped drinking? What about the drug addict that doesn't drink anymore? Or doesn't take drugs anymore? What about the one that has always ever lusting after woman or lusting after man and stopped to? What about all these things? What happened there? Why that desire is killed? You know why? Because the Spirit of God is in their heart, changing, constantly changing their heart. It's the power of the gospel. Number 7 is an extended gospel. Folks, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was not given to us to keep inside the church. The great commission given by Jesus is for us to go and tell our neighbors, our friends, our family members of this great gospel. It's an extended gospel. You have received the gospel, now you give it to someone else. That's what Jesus intended for us to do. To go and tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Look what the Bible says. Actually, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're almost done. I want you to see something about what God says about this gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Look what it says. Now, pay attention to that word, now. That's what it says. Then we are ambassadors for Christ. And through Christ, it beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ. Stead, be reconciled to God. I'm sorry. I couldn't see those words there. So, but the beginning of the verse says that now, that we then we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Do you ever been in an embassy? I've been in an American embassy when I was in Portugal. Let me tell you what reflects you. When you walk in that building, when you look in the building, it reflects another country. When you walk inside that building, everything in there reflects another country. Now, let me tell you this. If you sit here today, you are a citizen of heaven. Walk like one. Speak like one. Act like one. Behave like one. Because you are an ambassador of the gospel.
Amen.
You might be the only Bible somebody can ever read.
Amen.
In your workplace, in your neighborhood, amongst your family members. You can be the only Bible that they can ever read. Because they will never buy one. But they see it in you.
Amen.
And they ask question, why you live the way you live? Why you speak the way you speak? Because I'm the gospel. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to reach you. The church in America is in a state of apathy.
Yep.
It's like lukewarm. Oh, well, somebody else would tell. Oh, well, there's no urgency. They got many years to live. Really? The gospel message was never intended by the Lord for each one of us to keep it, but to share it. And if we're going to share it, we have to be proactive, telling them that they need a Savior. What kind of witness are you? When God calls you into account someday for the stewardship of the gospel, when He asks you to tell how you handled this gospel, this gift, what would you be your answer? Lord, I was too busy. You know, I get up from 4 o'clock in the morning, went to work, went home, watched a little TV, had my supper, went to bed, get up, and did the same thing. And the Lord going to say, and you didn't have time for me. No, Lord, I was just too busy. You know how life is on earth. And God's going to say, look at you and say, what about the people that live in your house? They're not here in heaven. What about the folks in your job? They're not here in heaven. What about the person in the gas station when you pump gas in your car? What about the person that served your food when you're in the restaurant? They're not here in heaven. Why didn't you reach to them? You know, Lord, I was too busy. We human beings have a lot of excuses. But God will remind us of all of it. People don't get saved because we don't tell. You say, nobody wants to hear. That's an excuse. People want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. 99.9% of the people that I talk about Jesus, they usually say thank you to me. That last 1% will holler back at you. You know what you do? You move on to the next one. I conclude with this. We have a gospel worth sharing. We have a Savior worth serving. I don't know where you are today, but let me tell you, those two go together. We have a gospel worth sharing. We have a Savior that is worth serving. Are you serving your Savior? Are you sharing His gospel? You see that? Don't be so content. I'm going to heaven. I don't care anybody else. No, no, no. God wants us to go and tell. They need the Savior. People are dying by the thousands every day. What do you need to do? Let's meet for it this way. Let's reach one person at a time. You can't reach the whole world, but you can reach your world with the gospel. Let's be open. Let's tell. Listen, they're out there telling, whatever they believe, they're telling you to everybody. Why don't we tell? We have the truth. People don't want to hear. How you know if you don't tell? It's like somebody saying, the Bible says this. No, will you show me in the Bible where it says that? Like I said, God helps those who help themselves. Show me that in the Bible. I want to see it. God helps those who cannot help themselves. See, people assume things. They're not in the Bible. Let's get to know our Bibles and let's go tell the world that the world needs Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.